Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now I'm down to 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is August the 24th, 24, it is the 20th day of Elul, 2028. We're going to close now the song entitled, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine, Thou daily upraised. Oh, my gift of grace, oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May the rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. As it inspired, as Thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to Thee go on and chancelessly living fire. I'll hush dark days ahead, and griefs around me spread. Be Thou my God, let darkness tend today, what sorrows tis away. Now let me ever stray from Thee aside. When in lost transient dream, when death's cold silence stream shall o'er me roll, the Savior then in love, fear and distress remove, oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. Service today with a continuation of our subject, the latest news from another. This is part three, and we're on page 52 of track 4, latest news from another, and we're on investigate personally. Is what we're in the subtitle on page 52. Graphically, it has the Yahweh again made known that it is perilous to make flesh your arm, to entrust to someone the personal responsibility of investigating a message that comes in the name of the Yahweh. Each must for himself prove all things and hold fast unto that which is good. As every true child of the Yahweh has ever done, those who will not take time and pain to do this are not honest with themselves or with the Yahweh, and their interest in the kingdom of the heaven is not such as that shown in the parable of the merchant man who sought salvation as though seeking for the goodly pearls or hidden treasure. Matthew 13:44-45. And those who cannot for themselves discern the difference between truth and error are prefigured by the five foolish virgins. That's the 25:2. But there is still another class who, from the pride of opinion and for the fear that in coming to the light they may have their errors exposed to view, refuse to discharge their individual responsibility and consequently remain in the darkness. Still others hold back from openly taking their stand by the side of those who advocate plain but unpopular truth because of the inconvenience, reproach, and persecution which follow in the wake of the being cast out of the synagogue. So the sins of prejudice, pride, and cowardice work like a cancer in the heart, lurking beneath the surface, only to rob their host of the eternal glory. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Yahweh has poured out upon you the spirit of the deep sleep and has closed your eyes. For the prophets and poor rulers the seer hath he covered. And the vision of all the prophets is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to the one that is learned. Okay, Sam, read this, I pray to you. And he says, I cannot, for it is a seal and not essential to salvation, etc. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned. Sam, read this, I pray to you. And he says, I am not learned, I must see so and so about it. Wherefore, the Yahweh said, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but has removed their heart far from me, and their tears toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent man shall be his, as 29:9-14. of this bill of the indictment versus Yahweh has gone up against those who profess to be his, we see that their ignorance is the result of the rejection of the prophet. Every succeeding Jewish generation rejected the living prophets of the same time, bearing recognition and honor to the preceding one who were slain by and for speaking to the prophet. Thus they shall rebuke themselves. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye bill the terms of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and said, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Matthew 23:29-30. Most of the Christians at the present time, by despising the gift of the prophecy in the Christian era, and by the applying of the Old Testament scriptures unto the Yahweh's ancient people only, have rejected all the prophets. The Seventh-day Adventist denomination, however, has long professed to believe in the spirit of the prophecy, particularly in that special message which in the latter part of the last century made clear that the angel of the Revelation 18:1, who is the light of the earth with his glory, was still in the one future, Early Writings 2:77, and that the prophet Elijah's message was yet to come, Testimonies to Ministers 4:75. And her latest sin attitude, however, as she is rich and increased with the good, and has need of the nothing, neither spirit nor prophet, as she manifests the spirit which led the Jewish leaders to kill Yahweh's messenger, and which has caused nearly all Christendom to set aside the prophet, thus teaching that they ceased with the preaching of John the Baptist. Now, thus shortening man's vision, the enemy is determinedly preparing the way for the church to reject the latter rank and never to receive the promised Latter-day Pentecost. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Yahweh, your Father, for he hath given you the former rain, moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Former rain and the latter rain. This shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Joel 2:23, 28 and 29. See our track number 2, 58 and 59. And who, all who cheat themselves of this blessing will seal their doom forever in the valley of Jezreel. If they call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, Hosea 1:4. Okay. He says, as Jezreel typifies the prophets who have been killed, as well as those who today are being killed, rejected by all who despise the gift of the prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5:20. The valley of Jezreel also, therefore, is typical. That is, as Jezreel represents the prophets, and as the valley of Acre, Hosea 2:15, stands for the destruction of those who are guilty of Achan's sin. In the valley of Jezreel, a place where Jehu destroyed the rejectors of the prophet, Hosea 1:5, must stand for the destruction of those who reject the truth of prophecy today. Those who thus become disqualified and eliminated from being the Yahshua's servant in his final work. One, to be succeeded by a layman's movement. The layman's movement is the fifth movement for Israel. In the last days, the layman movement is in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. Judgment of the living. Say ye, Jezreel, unto your brethren, Amen, and unto your sisters, Ruama, feed with your mother. Feed, Hosea 2:1-2. Here is brought to you a layman's movement of both men and women who are to arise and proclaim the message of the Reformation to the church and mother. They are to pray. Put away your whoredoms out of your sight, and your adulteries from between your breasts. Just fathers, strip you naked and sit you as in the day that you were born, and make you as a wilderness, and sit you like a dry land, and slay you with the thirst. Hosea 2:2-3. Through this personified prophecy, we see that the Yahshua is not now calling forth a new denomination, even though the ministry continues to take the membership rights from the adherents of this reformatory message. Consequently, for its successful delivery for the entire sisterhood of the churches, abandoning ourselves into a body of workers as a movement within a movement, which is, will never happen. It will never be a movement within a movement, has been forced upon us. In brief, we are to continue our message strictly to the old organization, as did the apostles with their message. For the first 3.5 years after the resurrection, they were commissioned to put forth all their effort in behalf of the apparent organization only. The last in the Old Testament period, likewise, the divisions are commissioned to put forth in all our effort in the behalf of their parent, the Latter-day Sin, Seventh-day Adventist organization, the last in the New Testament period. Richard Hawkins didn't realize that he himself was a Seventh-day Adventist. He was just a call to prophesy unto his brethren the message of the Lord. Richard Hawkins, he was part of the last New Testament Adventist church. Let us confidently therefore work unto the end of pressing together as an army with banners to proclaim the good tidings unto Zion. Well, Zion is your Judah, house of David, here at the 12th hour. This is who Zion is, as Richard Hawkins was talking about prophesying to it. At the 12th hour, this is who's talking about the prophesying to the Zion of the 12th hour, which the house of David is. Richard Hawkins was in the 10th hour when he's prophesying his prophecies of the Adventist church in the 10th hour. So it says, let us confidently therefore work unto the end of the present together as an army with the banner for the proclaiming of the good tidings unto the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Then only can it be said of us, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good things of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy Yahweh reigneth. Isaiah 53:7. Brother, sister, if you want a part in this never so glorious work, you dare not longer delay in the lifting up your voice for the helping to warn the mother of what father is about to do to her unlawful children, the terrorists. For the SDA church is charged with the terrible sin of whoredom. And intermingling with the world and of bringing forth children of the whoredom. Hosea 2:4. converts to God, not by the spirit of the truth, but by the spirit of the world. These have not cut loose from the desires of the natural heart and from the prompting of the carnal mind. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. All us which is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John 2:16. When these unlawful children are told of the straight testimony, which would compel them to give up the world and accept the whole truth, they quickly reveal themselves as not of the seed of Yahweh. That dress and health reform, and a thorough acceptance of the spirit of the prophecy, without any mention of other worldly pleasures or sins of morality, be urged upon them, and thousands of the so-called good Christian and unexceptionable standing in the church will abandon their membership. Let this test be applied, and the honest who may have some doubt about the results will have it quickly and completely dispelled once and forever. See early writings, page 27. For the church, well aware of this fact and fearful that she may lose a self-esteem, tithes and offerings if she fails to acquire a large membership, adversely said, I will go after my lover and give me my bread and my water. Let give me my bread and my water. My will and my flesh, my all and my drink. For she did not know, said the Yahweh, that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her children. And go which they prepared for Baal. Hosea 2:5-8. Only when the church is composed of the pure, unselfish members, then it fulfill Yahweh's purpose. Too much hasty work is done and adding names to the church. Go, serious, defects are seen, and the character of some who join the church. Those who admit themselves, we will first get them into the church and then reform them. But this is a mistake, for the very first work to be done is a work of reform. Pray with them, talk with them, but do not allow them to unite with the Yahweh's people in the church's relationship until they give decided evidence that the Spirit of the Yahweh is working upon their hearts. Review and Herald, May 21, 1901. Volume 78, number 21. Thus peace and safety is the cry of men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet to show Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of Jacob for his sin. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Testimony of Lion 5, page 11. They are greedy dogs that should never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look into their own way, everyone for his gain. From his quote, Isaiah 56:11. The flock over which he has charge, because in their blind greed, the shepherds have let the enemy mingle his sheep with the good flock. But Yahshua's now, in a last rescue effort, is commissioning the laity to awake the ministry in an effort to save the brother from the imminent vengeance of the Yahweh, the grace and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5. That every believer respond unto the call of the Yahweh and unite his voice with the cry, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion." This has been outside the 12th hour, the house of David. By the removing of the accursed thing from among thee, put on thy beautiful garments, Yahshua's righteousness, O Yahushua, holy city, for henceforth, after thou hast thus done, there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 52:1. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Yahshua, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought enough, and the scorner is sincere, and all that watch for the iniquity are cut off, that make a man an offering or an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth and the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of the naught. Isaiah 29:18-21. Recline no longer, brother, sister, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahweh is risen upon thee. Isaiah 60:1. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of them that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace, O Judah, keep thy solemn peace upon the truth of the sanctuary. Alright, this is solemn peace. This is the truth of the sanctuary. O Judah, keep thy solemn peace. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, as though they cut off. Nehemiah 15. For the Zion's sake, says Yahshua, but will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth. Brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and they shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yeshua shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of Yeshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy father, the father Yahweh. Thou shalt no more be turned forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be turned despised or desolate, be turned desolate. That thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yeshua delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Yerushalayim, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night, ye that make mention of Yeshua, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, and till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth, as says 62:1-4 and 6-7. For the message is now disclosing to you those wide awake, a watchman testimony, volume 5, page 8, and he that is feeble among them that day shall be as is David, and the house of David shall be as Yahweh, as the angel of the Yeshua before them, before the great multitude of all the nations. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, all vessels. Burden inside of it shall be cut in pieces, till all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Zechariah 12:8-10. And in that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Zechariah 13:1, Daniel 12:10. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yeshua as in the days of old, and as in the former years, Malachi 3:4. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vines cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Yahshua of the host. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, saith the Yahweh, Yeshua the host. Malachi 3:11. That your response to this heart stirring call to service may be intelligently informed and whole-souled, you will, of course, be anxious to know where is the Yahweh's storehouse. This is where you bring all your tithes and your offering for the members of the kingdom. For the Jewish church, in which we repose the truth up to the time of Yeshua, was ever to be the storehouse, and the priests were ever to be a steward. So when they rejected Yeshua, they forced Yahweh to transfer his storehouse to the little handful who did accept the added message for that day. The unbelieving thereby unwittingly forfeited their stewardship. The followers who paid the tithe to them from then on were delivering the Yahweh's money from his treasury to his enemies to persecute his people. But those who were Yahweh's true people followed the Lamb whithersoever he went, and as many as were possessors of the land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Acts 4:34-5. For the benefit of those who may think that the tithe is used for the preaching of the gospel to the heathen only, we call their attention to the following instruction. These 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Matthew 10:5-6. Nevertheless, they received the tithes and offering and all that was laid at their feet before the message was extended unto the Gentiles. Later, Yahweh again transferred his storehouse and entrusted its goods to the reformers who were stirred by the spirit of the downtrodden truth. Accordingly, his new and faithful stewards were appointed to care for the candlestick church from then on, the third chapter of Malachi, as we have previously seen, is directly applicable unto the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. See pages 33 and 34. And the command, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, being placed in this particular chapter of the Bible, shows beyond peradventure that Yahweh entrusts his storehouse unto those messengers of the special truth for this time. And as this message is of as great an importance to the church today as the Yahshua was to the Jewish church, we are equally bound by his command that the children first be filled. For is it not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs, heathen? Mark 7:27. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, take heed unto the word of Yahweh and strictly comply with his command, lest with the workers of iniquity you fall under the slaughter. Weapons and the horrible fulfillment of the Ezekiel's vision. Those who lived in the period of the old message the judgment of the dead. We're under obligation to support it. But now that we are entering into the period of the new message, the judgment of the living, we are duty bound to support it. This is present truth now. It wasn't during Ricky Hollis' time, present truth. No longer is there either need or justification for our supporting the old message by itself, aloof from the new. No more, so then there is in the preaching Noah's prediction of the flood the divorce from the future significance which derives from it. For the Yahweh does not want any man to think that no other message is to be heard, but that which he may have given. We want the past message and the fresh message, said the spirit of the prophet is here in hell. March 18, 1890. Brother, sister, unless you heed this solemn call, how shall you save your own soul? And how shall this message reach our brethren in the church? Swell to a loud cry of the third angel's message and sound the judgment of the living. Will you take the bread from your own to feed it to the Gentiles, and thus have them both fall together in the valley of Achor? For the instruction in the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 51. Pay your honest tithe and offering to your church, and feel that it is your Father's house. Came near the close of 1930 before the leading brethren as a denomination had rejected the sealing message. Clearly then, the Shepherd Rod has safely discharged his duty in the refusing to accept any tithes or offerings until after the books were scattered throughout the denomination, and after the brethren began bitterly to oppose the message. Now, though, since the opposition is no longer passive, but intensely active, and the proclamation of the message supremely urgent, the only course open is apparent. It will take an army of workers, including the tithes and offerings, to reach the people. Consequently, as our leading brethren have inadvertently shown themselves unworthy stewards of the Yahweh stirred storehouse for the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message, he has transferred the candlestick and is also calling for the tithes and offerings to be transferred into his storehouse of the present truth. When this great lay army has finished its work in the church, when it has escaped the slain, then shall the Yahshua send them, as he said, unto the nation that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations, and a clean vessel into the house of the Yahshua, Isaiah 66:19-20. What follows, therefore, that unless the entire denomination be robbing him, Yahshua would not declare, "You have robbed me." Even this whole nation, Malachi 3:9, but as most of the memberships are paying tithes and offerings, then that appears that the funds are turned into a wrong treasury. And when could this be true, save at the present time, when the denomination is fighting against Yahweh and His message with His own money, the tithe? So it is that even this whole nation is robbing Yahweh. Turn ye from your evil way, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Ezekiel 33:11. Satan is constantly endeavoring to attract attention unto man and the place of the Yahweh. He leads the people to look to bishops, to pastors, to professors of theology as their guides, instead of searching the scriptures to turn their duty for themselves. Then by the controlling the minds of these leaders, he can influence the multitude according unto his will. When Yahshua came to speak to the words of the life, the common people heard him gladly, and many, even of the priests and rulers, believed on him. But the chief of the priesthood and the leading men of the nation were determined to condemn and repudiate his teaching, though they were baffled in all their efforts to find accusations against him, though they could not but fear the influence of the divine power and wisdom attending his words, yet they encased themselves and the prejudice. They rejected the clearest evidence of his messiahship, that they should be forced to become his disciples. These opponents of the Asherah were men whom the people had been taught from the infancy to reverence, to whose authority they had been accustomed implicitly to bow. How is it, they asked, that our rulers and learned scribes do not believe on the Yahshua? Would not these pious men receive him if he were the Yahshua? It was the influence of such teaching that led the Jewish nation to reject the Redeemer. Notwithstanding, the Bible is full of the warning against the false teachers. Many are ready thus to commit the teaching of their souls to the clergy. There are today thousands of professors of religion who can give no other reason for the points of the faith which they hold than that they were so instructed by their religious leaders. They pass by the Savior's teaching almost unnoticed and place implicit confidence in the words of the minister. But are ministers infallible? How can we trust our souls to their guidance unless we know from the Yahweh's word that they are light bearers? A lack of the moral courage for the stepping aside from the beaten track of the world leaves many for the following in the steps of the learned man, and by their reluctance for the investigating for themselves, they are becoming hopelessly passing in the chains of the error. They see that the truth for this time is plainly brought to view in the Bible, and they feel the power of the Holy Spirit attending its proclamation, that they allow the opposition of the clergy to turn them from the light. Their reason and conscience are convinced these deluded souls do not think differently from the ministry. In their individual judgment, their internal interests are sacrificed to the unbelief, pride, and the prejudice of another. For the truth and the glory of Yahweh are inseparable. It is impossible for us, with the Bible within our reach, to honor Yahweh by the erroneous opinions. Many claim that it is matters not what one believes, if his life is only right. But the life is motivated by the faith. If light and truth is within our reach, and we neglect to improve the privilege of hearing and seeing it, we virtually reject it. We are choosing darkness rather than light. The Great Controversy, 595. Okay. This brings us into our study for this hour. So let's just close now with a Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain on dreadful morn, walk just for my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, look on the cross, that he might save them from endless long. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, wanting and hating, dying for them. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his life, Lord, was fast away, praying for sinners, while in such woe, no one but Yahshua ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, one and unheeding, dying for them. Oh, how I loved him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find him? Weary is a number on heaven's shore. My tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since nothing on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, poor sinner pleading, wanting and needing, dying for them.